Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got the King the Fifth report on corporate governance in front of us today.
That's right.
And our mission is pretty clear. We want to get under the skin of this, understand how King the Fifth tries to shift governance from just, you know, a compliance headache.
A tick box exercise.
Into something that actually drives value for an organization.
And it was a needed update, wasn't it? The context. I mean, look at the issues it aimed to address: corruption, struggling public bodies, anti-competitive behavior.
Yeah. And that huge elephant in the room, executive pay versus the average worker's wage.
Exactly. King the Fifth was set up explicitly, well, partly, to tackle these deep-seated problems by improving how organizations are governed at their core.
And part of that was making sure everyone felt included, right?
Yeah.
Not just big-listed companies.
Absolutely. That vocabulary shift is key. Moving from businesses and boards to organizations and governing bodies. It sounds simple, but it immediately opens the door for, well, everyone. Public sector, private, nonprofits, SMEs.
Makes it universal, basically.
That's the idea. Accessibility across the board.
Okay, so let's get into the approach itself.
Mm.
King the Fifth really pushes this outcomes-based idea. What does that actually mean in practice?
It means you stop focusing just on doing governance practices and start focusing on what they achieve. King the Fifth sets out four key outcomes.
Which are?
An ethical culture, good performance, obviously crucial effective control, and, this is interesting, legitimacy.
Legitimacy. Hmm. That sounds a bit fuzzy. How do you measure legitimacy? It's not like profit.
Well, it forces the governing body to think beyond just the financials. Are you seen as responsible? Do stakeholders trust you? Are you acting like a good corporate citizen? It's about demonstrating that broader value.
Okay, so it's qualitative as much as quantitative.
Precisely. And that ties into the biggest structural change, the compliance regime itself.
Ah, yes. The move away from King the Third's apply or explain. Which, let's face it, sometimes felt like you could just explain why you weren't applying something.
A loophole, some might say. King the Fifth tightens that significantly. It's now apply and explain.
Apply and explain. So no excuses.
Well, the explain part is different, too. You don't just list what you did. You have to explain how what you did actually contributed to achieving those four outcomes we just mentioned.
So you need to demonstrate the impact.
Exactly. It's about the quality of the application and its results, not just ticking the box to say you have a policy. It's designed to prevent that sort of superficial compliance.
Makes sense. And this all starts at the top with leadership, doesn't it? King the Fifth has a specific take on that.
It does. It defines governance explicitly as the exercise of ethical and effective leadership. Both are needed.
And the ethical part is quite defined.
Very much so. It uses the ICRFT characteristics: integrity, competence, responsibility, accountability, fairness, and transparency. It's basically saying leadership character is fundamental to good governance.
That puts a lot more emphasis on the who and how, not just the what.
Absolutely transformative, potentially.
Okay, so ethical leadership is the foundation. What about navigating the future? Risk management is always key, but King the Fifth seems to view risk a bit differently, too.
Yeah, it adopts a more modern, balanced view. Traditionally, risk is all negative, right? Things to avoid.
That's basically.
King the Fifth acknowledges that, of course, but it also defines risk in terms of uncertainty, and uncertainty can bring opportunity, too. It includes the upside of risk.
So it encourages looking for opportunities within that uncertainty, not just playing defense.
Exactly. It's about balancing the potential negative effects with the potential positive ones. A more holistic view that supports value creation, not just preservation.
Right. Now let's talk about something that always gets stakeholders fired up. Remuneration. How does King the Fifth handle that?
Yes. Always a hot topic, especially with the wage gap concerns you mentioned earlier. King the Fifth really ramps up the disclosure requirements here.
More transparency needed.
Much more. It requires a three-part remuneration report, a background statement setting the context, an overview of the policy itself, and then a detailed implementation report showing exactly how the policy was applied.
And does it specifically address the wage gap issue?
It does. It introduces practices that require the governing body to consider fairness and responsibility in remuneration across the entire organization, not just looking at executives in isolation.
So connecting executive pay to the broader workforce pay scales.
That's the clear expectation. Transparency about the gap and justification for it.
Okay, so pulling it all together, What's the big takeaway for you listening?
It's really about moving beyond just procedures. King the Feath demands a genuine thinking application of principles. You need to show how your governance leads to those outcomes, ethical culture, performance, control, legitimacy, and how you're acting as a responsible corporate citizen.
And there's a final point, a real accountability mechanism related to that remuneration piece, isn't there? Something quite striking.
Yes, the advisory vote recommendation. King the Vi suggests companies disclose upfront what actions they'll take if their remuneration policy or report gets a non-binding no vote of just 25% or more from shareholders.
25%, that feels quite low compared to other places.
It is historically low, yes.
Yep.
Think about the UK, Australia thresholds are often 50%. This 25% level gives shareholders in South Africa potentially significant power to push back much earlier.
So here's the final thought to leave you with. Considering the leverage this low threshold gives stakeholders to demand real change, particularly on sensitive issues like pay,
will we see this 25% advisory vote benchmark pioneered in South Africa start to influence standards internationally? Could it become the new norm for holding corporations accountable?
Something to watch, definitely.